We continue our coverage of the upcoming primaries with one of the candidates on the Democratic primary ballot for the 2nd Congressional District in Colorado. That's the seat currently held by Jared Polis. Mark Williams joins us live in the studio. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Maeve. A pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And just to remind listeners, people in Boulder, of course, are within the 2nd Congressional District, but it is a broad district. It encompasses Larimer, Grand, Summit, Vail counties, amongst other places. So we're going to get into some of the main issues. But Mark Williams, give our listeners a sense of your background and why you decided to run for the seat currently held by Jared Polis, of course, reminding people he stepped away from that seat or will step away because of his gubernatorial candidacy.
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, for me, I had never been a career politics, as it were, but after 2016 and seeing the impact it had on my family and my community, I decided it was time to get involved. So, you know, my background had been as a military guy. I flew F-15s in the Air Force, and then I left there and wound up here in Boulder via Naropa, and then was in the startup community for the last 15 years or so. And so after 2016, like so many other folks, I decided to get involved. And by way of circumstance, I landed as chair of the Boulder County Democrats. And then when Jared Polis decided to step down and run for governor, I wanted to bring the same platform that I had taken to the Boulder County Dems, you know, fairness, honesty, and transparency, revitalizing the grassroots, and frankly, rebuilding a strong Democratic Party. And so that's what inspired me to run for the seat, yeah.
Well, let's get into some of the issues, but what do you see as the main issues that are impacting right now Colorado's 2nd Congressional District?
Well, you know, I think Colorado's 2nd Congressional District is a microcosm of the larger, shall we say, dialogue around what progressive politics really looks like in the Democratic Party. So, you know, as we look at what's happening in our district and as we look at politics in our district, we're seeing the same kind of dynamics playing out here at the local level that are playing out nationally. So we see, you know, national players like the DCCC putting their thumb on the scale, you know, trying to have establishment candidates elected and pushing against real progressive candidates. And, you know, here in our district, which is hands down one of the most progressive districts in the country, you know, for me, we need to be leading the dialogue nationally around what's it mean to have a different kind of politics? What's it mean to pull money out of politics? What's it mean to have a, you know, a party that's anti-war, which is not what the Democrats are about right now? And what's it mean to lead the way in terms of saying we're going to stand strong against fracking and call out industry? And, you know, when it comes to things like the NRA and those kinds of things, it's also we need to be leading the way, and we can as a safe blue district. So for me in the 2nd District, we have a lot of the standard kind of questions that are happening around progressive politics throughout the nation, but we have those at a louder degree just because we are so progressive and we need to be taking those stronger stands.
Just to let listeners know, we typically have all candidates on a particular ballot in studio at the same time for a debate style forum. But Jonah Goose declined to participate in a debate, but he will be on KGNU next Wednesday morning. So he is the other candidate on the Democratic primary ballot. But Mark Williams is live in the studio and he will take listener calls a little bit later. But getting into this issue of establishment politics, I mean, you were the chair of the county party. But that was at 2016. 2016 was a significant time in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about what you see as you being different from what has traditionally been part of the Democratic Party. What do you bring that is different?
Yeah. So, you know, I got elected actually in 2017 on the heels of the national election to the Boulder County Democrats. And, you know, and I showed up and my politics were very left politics. I mean, I supported Bernie Sanders. This entire district went for Bernie Sanders 70-30. And when I showed up, I said, let's take that kind of progressive politics. And, you know, my background in the military and the startup world, I thought and I said, let's just revamp the party. Let's basically change the organization. Let's do a whole reorg here and let's make it effective and operational and let's be thought leaders. And, you know, I got some pushback around that because a lot of folks, certainly the, you know, the establishment in the loosest sense of the word, sees it as just a get out the vote operation. And when you start bringing independent thinking and when you start saying we're going to actually have an impact, it tends to push against things. And so, you know, when Jared decided to run for governor, pretty much I think it was the day after that, you know, Joe put up his website. And then, you know, if you look at the article that Jim Martin wrote in the Camera the following week, it basically said that, you know, they put the word out on the street that nobody else would be supported to run against.
Now, is that an official statement, or is this just something that you are speculating on?
No,
or?
This isn't my speculation. This is what Jim Martin, who's, you know, pretty tied into that world, he said this was the official word on the street for everybody to stand down, and they wanted to clear the field. And that's the way politics have been done in the past, and that's the kind of politics that's brought so much cynicism into the body politic. And so when that whole thing went down, and pretty much within a week, I don't know, half, if not two-thirds of the elected representatives in the district who were Democrats had endorsed my opponent, I started getting phone calls, people going, you know what, you're not beholden to these folks. You should run against, you should run for this position and against this kind of politics. And, you know, and for me, that's the fundamental dialogue in terms of what's going on today in politics. It's the politics as usual. It's the insiders deciding who they want, and it's still playing out, and you see it in the DCCC and what they've done down in the six with Jason Crow and Levi Tillman. You've seen it here, and over and over and over, these old habits are hard to break, and what I'm saying is my candidacy is not a candidacy of insiders. My candidacy is a candidacy for the grassroots. It's a candidacy where I want to hear the voices of the people. It's a candidacy where I show up for debates. I show up for forums. I want that kind of dialogue because that's how the party needs to be moving forward, not by having the same old thing. And so, you know, my vision then is to have that kind of dialogue and to push our district to lead the country in a brand of progressive politics that frankly revitalizes the grassroots and reinvigorates people to believe that government can work for them and not just for big corporations or the 1%, which is frankly what the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have been doing for the last 50 years.
Well, outside of the current party establishment, in terms of your policy and your platform, what differentiates you from either the current member of Congress, Jared Polis, in the 2nd Congressional District, or your opponent, Joe Neguse?
Yeah, more specifically, in terms of, you know, my opponent, I think the things that stand out the loudest are the following. First is, I stand strong against oil and gas. I say we're going to support the 2,500-foot setback, and I say let's ban fracking. We can call for that in this district, and given that the bulldozers on the county line here in Larimer and in other places, it's time for us to say let's ban fracking. So that's a huge difference between, you know, myself and my opponent. The next thing is, you know, I'm a veteran, and so I understand what happens in the world of defense. I understand it all too well, and I stand strong as an anti-war candidate. I will explicitly say it's time to get out of Afghanistan. And, you know, like Jared, I will vote against defense budgets that, you know, comprise over half of our discretionary budget and, you know, $5 trillion that we've spent on wars. You know, my opponent is yet to say that he's going to stand strong and demand that we move out of Afghanistan and that our foreign policy become much less of a foreign, you know, an interventionist foreign policy. And finally, you know, for me, again, the root of all evil is the root of original sin in politics today is money. So whether it's about the NRA, whether it's about oil and gas, whether it's about defense industries, it doesn't matter to me. You peel back the onion and it's about money. I don't take money from DC insiders, PACs, special interests, or lobbyists. My opponent does. And it's tough to say you're going to stand strong against, say, the gun lobby when you take money from PACs that do work for the gun lobby. It's tough to say you're going to stand strong against fracking and oil and gas when you take money from players who advocate against our communities and against local control and for oil and gas. And it's fine, you know, finally, it's tough to say that you're going to be an independent voice and a leadership voice in Congress when you're taking money from DC insiders like Steny Hoyer and James Clyburn. Again, there's no money that's free in life. And when you show up and you have that kind of money in your back pocket, you're beholden. And so my independence, my capacity to be an independent Democrat instead of just another party Democrat doing what you're told to do, Those are the three biggest differences between myself and my opponent.
But we will have your opponent on next week, so I'll certainly present some of those issues to him and give him a chance to respond. He'll be on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. But in the meantime, Mark Williams joins us live in the KGNU studio, one of the two candidates on the Democratic primary ballot in June for Colorado's second congressional district. Mark, you have said you're a former fighter pilot. So what has been your personal transition from being an active fighter pilot into what your position, as you say it now, is, you know, opposed military, the spending that we have here in the U.S. and military involvement of the U.S. in foreign countries?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's really one that's based in history, you know, and I actually grew up overseas. I lived most of my younger life in Latin America. I lived in Panama, El Salvador, and Brazil. I speak Spanish and Portuguese. My mother's originally from Spain. And so, you know, I'm a strong student of history, and I was also a reservist intelligence officer in the Air Force, and that's where I spent a fair amount of time as well. And as I look at history, and you look at American involvement in foreign wars, you know, generally speaking, it's a tough case to make to say that our interventions abroad have been particularly have done us particularly well. Certainly, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, all that's blowback from George W. Bush and Cheney deciding to jump into Iraq. If you look at Afghanistan and what's going on there, it's our decision to go in there and then try to create something different in Afghanistan, which has led us into basically the Vietnam of the 21st century. So over and over, as a student of history and understanding the impact that, you know, large armed warfare has versus the impact that soft power and diplomacy can have, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the history and go, you know what, bringing force to bear should be the last option. And the way that we've been doing business, frankly, whether it's in Democratic administrations or Republican administrations, where we're leading with a very aggressive foreign policy, has not done us well. And if you look at the amount of money that's been spent, $5 trillion, just talking sense, we did our little adventure in Iraq. And if you look at the lives that have been lost, the men and women that have given their lives, it's just a tough case to make. So for me, again, in this district, we plant the flag and say, it's time to get out. And it's time to get out all the way and start doing business differently. And if we're not carrying that flag, we're not doing justice by the people of this district.
In terms of some of the other issues, you mentioned fracking, of course, that's a huge issue here locally. But at a federal level, I mean, what would you see as a way forward if you were serving in Congress to address this issue, given the current makeup of the Trump administration and its pro-oil and gas makeup?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, in Congress, Tulsi Gabbard has a bill, 3671, that's there, which is the Off Fossil Fuels for a Better Future Act. And it calls for, you know, no more capital investment in oil and gas. And it calls for transitioning workers into the renewable industry. And it says, you know, basically that we're going to accelerate our transition to renewables altogether by 2035. So those kinds of things can be supported at the federal level. The other thing that can happen is if you look at somebody like Ryan Zinke, you know, I firmly believe that we're going to take back the House in 18. And so there's a lot of things that Congress can do, especially if we're in charge of Congress, where we can start investigating people like Ryan Zinke and bringing them, you know, making them responsible and accountable for the really poor decision making that they have. And, you know, at a very fundamental level, these folks, there's a lot of corruption that's happening right now. And so being in Congress and the oversight capacity of Congress to be calling those people forward and to be looking at the activities that they're doing and whether they fall within the balance of what's correct and doable, those are the kind of things that that being in Congress can allow. And so, you know, that's what I would do. But, you know, in context of fracking, I think it's important to talk about the, you know, the ability to get up and be a spokesperson for what's happening in this district. So, you know, to get on to be there when the discussions are being had about fracking, frankly, to be there when the bulldozers start coming across the county line, and to stand with our community in the same way that folks did at Rocky Flats years ago with that big circle that was made with people holding hands. Imagine the power of a congressman who's willing to stand shoulder to shoulder and arm in arm with people that are directly acting against those kinds of activities. And to me, to have a congressperson who's willing to do that, who's got the courage to stand in the middle of the fray and not just step back and go, I strongly deplore, but to actually be there in the middle of it, that's how you can make a difference in Washington. And it's by being present here locally.
It's Mark Williams, who is on the Democratic primary ballot next month for Colorado's 2nd Congressional District. His opponent, Jonah Goose, will be on with us next week, and I'll be presenting some of these questions and some of the issues that you've raised, Mark, to him next week. But we will invite listeners, if you have a question for Mark Williams this morning, you can give us a call at 303-442-4242. His website is linked at kgnu.org, but it's markforcolorado.com. And you're going to be at this event in Boulder this coming Saturday. It's at the Maidlife venue on 21st Street in Boulder, and it's looking at arts, the intersection of arts and politics. So we've done some coverage of that event. Are there other opportunities in the community for people to interact with you?
Yes, you know, the League of Women Voters is having an event next Wednesday at the Presbyterian Community Church in Estes Park, which is part of the district, and that begins at 6 o'clock. So folks can go out there. It's going to be a forum with all the candidates, you know, the independent, the Libertarian and the Republican and myself. You know, unfortunately, my opponent chose not to appear there as well. But that's a good place to be able to come take a look and see what the dialogue is around the district from the different parties. So that's another opportunity. And let me just give a shout out to the folks at Maidlife and what's happening there, because, you know, again, being a student of history, and you look at the close relationship between art and politics, and how art speaks the language of change, and how art captures the yearning that's happening deep down inside people's psyche for different things. It's a very powerful part of a political movement. And so for me in this district, to be able to say that we're bringing arts to bear, and that we're going to have a conversation where arts is the center place of politics, I mean, that's the natural meeting of these two things. And a very strong place where, you know, human beings can come together and create and have a vision for something new and more powerful. And so that's super exciting to me.
Well, we have several callers who are standing by. We'll go to the phones in just a moment as we get them on the line. I just want to ask you about healthcare, because that was one of the major parts of Bernie Sanders' platform. Mm-hmm. You, of course, were a supporter of him. How do we address what's happening with healthcare at a federal level, given the current dysfunction in Congress?
Yeah. So, you know, Keith Ellison's introduced a bill, H.R. 676. Which is basically improved Medicare for all. And, you know, we know that Medicare works. We know that the costs of delivering care are much more efficient and effective than a lot of things that are happening in the private marketplace. And we also know where Medicare is falling short. And so 676 is basically a bill that says, let's fix what we know doesn't work in Medicare. Let's also bring, you know, dental care, vision, all these other aspects that are integrated into healthcare and should be integrated into healthcare. Let's also make them part of what's universally available. So it's a universal plan. It's a single payer. And to me, that's the way forward, in the spirit of we want universal healthcare, single payer, and the benefits that provides for all citizens in our country. And that to me is the standard right now, 676.
But we're going to go to the phones. We'll welcome Evan. You're live on the air with Mark Williams. Go ahead.
Morning. I'm always suspicious of candidates who avoid debates. And has your opponent, Jonah Goose, been systematically avoiding debates? And Maeve, what was his reason for not coming on with Mark?
Well, part of it was scheduling, in terms of trying to get Jonah Goose on at the same time. So that was one of the issues. But Mark, you have mentioned there have been other debates that there haven't been participation in.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's been tough to get together in the same place. And, you know, let me say, I'd been happy to rework my schedule so that we could sit here shoulder to shoulder and have an honest dialogue about what needs to happen. So, you know, it's less about the scheduling, I think, and then just more about having that honest dialogue around what the way forward is for this district. I'm available always and everywhere for phone calls and people who want to connect and so on and so forth. Because for me, if we're not having those, you know, if I'm not speaking to voters, if I'm not speaking to constituents around what it is that they want in their representative, you know, then then, you know, then how could I possibly believe that I could represent you in Congress? So yeah, it is what it is. But, you know, we're committed to having the dialogue no matter what. And we'll continue to let folks know what's happening.
Evan, we have several other callers standing by, so we're going to go to them. We'll go next to Mary. You're live on KGNU this morning with Mark Williams.
Oh, I was fourth in line, I thought.
Go ahead. You're live on the radio.
Okay. Oh, wow. I wasn't ready for that. So I live in Longmont, and I'm very active in politics, Mark. And I just want to say briefly that it's too bad you did leave the Boco Dems, because they installed a person. There were three candidates for the position, and they really set it up so they installed the person that they wanted. I was really disappointed with the way that went. That was number one. And number two is I was a delegate, and several of us were delegates, at our local level and then at Boulder High School where we had the county assembly. But when we got to the state assembly, someone screwed up and did not submit the Boulder County delegate list or file for the computer at in Broomfield. And I just want to say, I don't know if you know about that, but I just want that to be out there, that Boulder County tends to be, of course, very progressive, and we didn't get our names. We didn't even get to vote at the state assembly, and I was really ticked off about that. But fortunately, all the candidates that I supported, including you, made it on the ballot. So just wondering if you had any response to that part of how frustrating it is to be with Dems in the state of Colorado when they don't allow people like us for our voices to be heard. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mary. You know, first of all, I appreciate your support. And secondly, I didn't really, I hadn't heard what had happened at Assembly. But, you know, what I'd like to say is at some level, it was heartbreaking to leave the Boulder Dems because I believe we were doing really phenomenal work there. And, you know, the opportunity to take that same message across the district is what really compelled me to jump forward. And the idea that we could make the same kind of changes across the district that we had been doing in Boulder, that for me was what inspired me to make the jump. There are challenges always just in terms of, you know, the inertia within organizations. And I feel like one of the exciting things about being the congressperson here would be the ability to affect change in all the different county parties that are within the district. So that remains an exciting part to me, and really addressing, I think, what you're pointing to, which is the capacity of the grassroots activists to have their voice heard, to be involved, to make that an integral part of party politics.
We're going to go back and hear from some more listeners in a moment, but just to address this issue of this being a progressive district, of course, you do represent the city of Boulder, not the entire part of Boulder County, because Eastern Boulder County is a different district, but you also, it also encompasses Larimer, Grand Summit, other counties which have a very different makeup from Boulder. What are you hearing from people in some of those other parts of this district?
Yeah, well, you know, so here's some interesting data points. First, if you look at these districts from a Democratic perspective, both Larimer County and Boulder County, Broomfield County went heavily for Bernie Sanders. So that tells you the kind of flavor of the Democrats in the district. And then if you look at the unaffiliated and even the Republicans in Larimer and throughout the district in Grand County and so forth, you know, you're going to see obviously a much more conservative flavor. But what's really interesting to me, Maeve, is as I'm out there on the campaign trail, I want to connect with unaffiliated because they can vote in the Democratic primary for the first time. So if you're independent or unaffiliated, June 26, you'll get a ballot in the mail. Make sure you submit that ballot. But what I hear from the unaffiliated over and over, and that's the largest growing, you know, voter segment in the district and in the country, because people are so disaffected and cynical with political parties. And over, what I see people pointing to is the role of money in politics and how they feel like both parties have been bought and paid for by, you know, big corporate interests and the 1%. And so when I get out there and I start saying to unaffiliated people, and frankly, even Republicans, if I say, look, I'm not taking any money from the usual suspects, and then I say, secondly, I'm not a career politician, I'm not here because of some ambition. I'm not here because I want to move on to do X, Y, or Z. I'm here because I'm concerned for our country. The well-being of our republic is at stake, and it's time for citizen candidates to step forward. Then unaffiliated and even Republicans look at me and say, I'm interested in what you're talking about in your campaign. Can I have more information? So that's what's different to me about, you know, what the different segments of the voter bloc are, because even though people may not agree with me ideologically, we all agree, or so many of us agree, that the politics is fundamentally broken, and it's time for citizen candidates to change that.
Mark Williams is on the Democratic primary ballot next month. For the first time, unaffiliated voters can participate if they so choose, thanks to a change in election law. His website is markforcolorado.com. The other person on the ballot is Joe Neguse, and we'll hear from him next Wednesday morning. If people have a question for Joe Neguse that won't be a live segment, do email news@kgnu.org. This morning, Mark is responding to listener calls, and we'll go back to the phones and welcome Jim. Jim, you're live on the air this morning.
Mark, it's just so wonderful that you're anti-war, anti-fracking, and anti-1%. How are you going to battle the oil companies? I mean, they swayed the University of Colorado Region voice vote, and they've Hickenloopers their dummy and stuff, so they dominate the Democratic Party, and the Koch brothers, and the whole thing of monopolies, and you know, just all these oil companies getting together and arranging to have wars and keep the prices up and all that stuff. It's like you're David versus Goliath or Robin Hood versus big banks. How are you going to manage this?
Well, you know, from at a very human level, Jim, you know, for me, standing in the middle of a fight like this, this is the fight for the future of our planet and the fight for our children.
Wow.
So I don't think there's really much choice in terms of how we approach this. And, you know, for me, it's so important to be able to come home and frankly look voters in the eye, and even at a more important level, to look my daughters in the eye and know that I'm doing right by what we stand for as a family and as a community. So you know, that's what moves me. So when you say you're David against Goliath, it's like, yeah, and I believe, you know, to kind of to pull from Martin Luther King, I believe the course of history has taken us in the right direction, and I believe history's on our side here. So I'm willing to fight the battle, and I feel like the stakes are so high in this battle that if we don't fight this battle, if David doesn't go against Goliath, if Robin Hood's not willing to take on Sheriff Nottingham and fight for what's frankly just, you know, then the questions get, you know, then I'm concerned at a much deeper level. And to be in this fight, there's no choice at this point, is my feeling. And people like you and I and everybody else that's interested in tackling these questions, we need to step forward and make our voice heard, because if it's not now, when? And if it's not here in this district, where is it going to be? It's time to play ball.
Well, we have several callers who are standing by. We'll ask them to keep it as brief as possible. Rod, you're live on the air with Mark Williams.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, here's a campaign slogan for you.
Shoot.
Restoring representative democracy for the people.
Right on. I love it. And that's, you know, for me right now, we have people, not profits. I think it points to the exact same thing, which is what this campaign's all about.
Well, that might help you get some more of those independent voters, because I know there's a lot of patriots out there that are looking in that direction. And I think you pointed out that, you know, a lot of independents are trying to look at, you know, what direction. You know, I've experienced over the years our non-representative democracy through Jared Polis, and my own personal experiences is he has picked party over people several times, and, you know, it's kind of daunting to think that he wants to be our governor. So I'm glad you're in the fight.
Thank you.
Rod, thank you for your call.
You.
We'll go next to Karen. You're live on KGNU this morning.
Hi, it was fantastic hearing you say that you would be out there standing as a congressperson, standing shoulder to shoulder with people who are demonstrating against fracking, and that was wonderful. Now, the fracking issue has been around the area for a number of years. I'm wondering, have you done that as a citizen? Have you been out there standing shoulder to shoulder at the anti-fracking demonstrations?
Yeah, you know, I've gone down to, as I've gotten more educated about this, and, you know, when I started really diving deep into local politics here as the Boulder County Chair, I started going to some of the events, started going to some of the Colorado Oil and Gas meeting, and started showing up at events where other folks are doing that kind of work, people like, you know, Colorado Rising and those kinds of things. So I'm in the fight right now, and, you know, it's been a great education to learn about how intense this fight is and what a priority it needs to be for us right now.
We'll go next to Brian. Brian, you'll be our last caller this morning. You're live on the air with Mark Williams.
Hello, Mr. Williams. Good to hear you. And what you just said is kind of what I wanted to ask about, like the cred.org or cred.com, all their propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're doing stuff on that from what you just say, so keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Mark, we're almost out of time. I do want to let people know that your website is markforcolorado.com because there are so many policy issues that you have explained in depth on that particular website. But in the last couple of minutes, if you could surmise what your campaign stands for and as you speak directly to listeners this morning.
Yeah, so my campaign stands for the people, and I want to be bringing a different kind of politics to this district. I want to bring a politics of renewal, a politics that re-envisions what politics can be and the role of people in that politics. And so for me, it's a renewal. After the last 50 years, it's time to step forward and bring a different kind of politician forward, a different kind of politics, a different kind of governance, one where people have faith in the people that are representing them and one that have faith in getting involved and not being cynical. So, you know, ballots are going to be coming out next week. You have to submit those ballots by June 26th. If you're an independent, if you're unaffiliated or a Democrat, please vote. Take a look. Go to our website, markforcolorado.com. That's where you'll get all the information. Get involved. No matter what you're going to do, make sure your voice is heard and vote by June 26th in the primary, because whoever wins the primary for the Democrats is going to be your congressperson.
Well, Mark Williams is on the Democratic primary ballot that, as we heard, will be going out next week. Joe Neguse, who is the other candidate on that ballot, he'll be joining us next week. So if you have a question you would like to put to Joe Neguse, unfortunately, it's not going to be a live segment. I'll pre-tape the interview due to scheduling issues. Do let us know. You can email news@kgnu.org and you can catch that interview next Wednesday morning. And as Mark said, there are plenty of events happening in the community where you can connect with him. All that information's online, markwilliamsforcolorado.com.
Thank you, Maeve. Much appreciated.
And as part of our coverage of the primaries, we're next Monday morning going to take a look at what's happening in Denver, because Diana DeGette has a challenger in the primary, and we're going to hear from that challenger. Part of this wave, as we're hearing, of grassroots candidates stepping in to politics to challenge the Democratic Party establishment. So on Monday morning, during the Morning Magazine, we'll hear from Sayura Rao. That is on Monday. And next Thursday morning, we're going to hear from both of the candidates who are in the on the Democratic primary ballot for the Colorado Attorney General race. So it's all part of our ongoing coverage. Find out more online at kgnu.org.